Right, you are so welcome, Dal. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's brilliant. And for those of you that don't know Dal, this is Dal Sacom. She is an amazing nutrition coach, and she's been on her own journey, having let go of 100 pounds herself. And she shares that journey really openly and deeply on her Instagram, which is Nutrition Coaching by Dal, for anyone who is looking for her. So I really appreciate you coming on, Dal, and sharing some stuff with us. Not
Awesome. I appreciate you having me here.
at
All
all.
right.
And before I get into asking you about your content strategy, because I just love it. It's really raw, it's so real, it's really hard-hitting, like it's really valuable. And I think it's wonderful. But do you mind telling us a little bit about your journey of letting go of the 100 pounds? Because when I was reading your content, what really hit me was when you said that you addressed the root cause of the gain, and that's when you started to kind of really like get successful in letting go of the weight. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, my years of dieting, they go beyond 2 decades. So I've
Okay.
been I've yo-yo dieted, extreme diets all my life, always looking for the quick fix, always trying to lose the weight the fastest way possible. It was something that I thought, dropping the weight is what would bring me happiness. Like I would be happy if I, if I just got to that goal, if I just got to that size, if I could fit into those clothes, I would be happy. And what ended up happening due to the restrictive nature of these diets, they're unsustainable, and I would just end up reverting back to my old habits and gaining all the weight back, plus some. So it was just a constant cycle of yo-yo dieting, and I did that for 20 plus years. And then honestly, it was just waking up one day, literally and figuratively speaking, like I actually literally woke up and said, "This is enough, like I can't do this." I just, it was a lot about mindset for me, and it was finally, I say this a lot, it's not about, for me, it's not about finding your why, because we all have our whys, but it's actually finding your why as to your inaction, why you won't take the steps that you need, to get to where you need to get to. What is it that's been stopping you from actually progressing and getting to your goals, and interfering with that process? And so for me, I kind of always deep down knew, but we're afraid to confront those fears and the real struggles. And I finally decided to do that. And it's that which is what turned everything around and led me on my journey 2 years ago. So,
Well, that's really
yeah.
powerful, because that's really powerful, because really a lot of people fight for the opposite, don't they? Where they actually know really deep down in their subconscious the cause of whether it's the weight not coming off, or them not being able to lift extra weight, or them not being able to get more followers or more sales or whatever it is they fucking know, but they're afraid to look under the hood and they ask the wrong questions, which is, why is this happening to me? Why can't this be happening? Instead of doing what approach that you've taken, which is, okay, why have I gained this weight, or why am I acting this way?
100%, and that's what I was doing. And starting that and actually confronting it, allowed me to actually take that step forward. And as I took those little steps forward, I was able to delve into it a bit deeper. I'm not gonna say that I did this all alone. I didn't. Like I sought out the help of a counselor. I eventually, I and just like I immersed myself in social media, like the psychologists accounts that I know one are reputable, and just reading stuff, self-development, and then hiring my trainer, my coach, and that just one thing just led to another, and this is where I am today. So
Was it as scary as you thought it would be coming out of that denial? And how long did you spend in the denial? Because I've been on a route of emotional eating many years ago, and I was in denial for a long time. And I remember how scared I was when I was like, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, it is scary. Well, this is just it. It's so scary that I spent over 2 decades fighting it, right? Not wanting to tackle it, not wanting to confront it. And it extends beyond that. It's not just that, it's also a lot of societal and cultural beliefs. You know, and these preconceived notions that have been ingrained in us. So that, and coupled with the diet culture and all of those beliefs, it's a bad formula.
Yeah, it is a bad formula. It is. And what another thing that struck me that you mentioned in your content, and I think today you might have mentioned it again, and it's so interesting, is when you were down 50 pounds, you had a kind of an aha moment about things like what it cost you in terms of, weight gain and in terms of time and energy, but not just that. When you mentioned today about like, okay, I've got a bad back, I'll buy a new mattress, or the physical drugs to help me sleep or whatever it was. And it's like, all you need is to drop some fucking weight, and that's what's gonna,
That's exactly. It's so, we know this though. We inherently inside know that the action and the behaviors, the habits, all of this stuff is not leading, to a lifestyle that's conducive to, health and wellness, and where we're able to do the things that we want, where we're able to play with our kids, where we're able to move, freely. And even though we know it, we still continue to do it. And again, everyone has their own reasons. And so, yeah, when I lost the 50 pounds initially, just symptoms just miraculously disappeared. Like, oh wow, like I don't feel that achiness when I'm sleeping on my side, or my knees don't hurt going up the stairs. Like I don't have to take medication for acid reflux anymore. My feet, oh my gosh, the plantar fasciitis was horrible. Like I couldn't stand for more than an hour or two. And what, to sit, like that's the solution, to sit and rest, right? Like, and yeah, so when that happened, yeah, it was like a light bulb moment. It was like, wow, interesting. Like it's simple as that, just leading a healthier lifestyle and adopting healthier our habits, right? So
Yeah, and like that's really hard hitting, like for someone to read, for someone who's maybe on that journey, not even a fit pro, but someone who's got lots of accoutrements, because society is set up for consumerism, isn't it? So it's like, got a bad back,
It
the mattress, you have this, you need these wedgy shoes, whatever it is. And it's like,
Yeah.
actually, the solution lies within losing weight, and you could get rid of half that shit and you just wouldn't need it. Like, that's what struck me
Exactly.
when I read that post, because I remember it with clients myself when I was coaching a lot of fat loss, is so many things they would come at me with as a solution that was anything but just to lose weight. You're
Exactly.
just like,
Well, and that's just, parallel to like quick fixes or supplements or fat loss drugs or what, well, not fat loss drugs, but like the fat burners or all of these things. We go towards that as our first line of so as a solution to our problems, but those are all secondary. You don't need any of those, and it's just simply dropping the weight. It's not simple. I'm not advocating it's simple. Or it is simple, it's not easy. It's just it's the basics. And yeah, it's just it is surprising, and honestly, being in it, sometimes, when we say trust the process, someone who's gone through it can say like, hey, trust the process. Like, when you go through it, you'll see. And I talked to some of my clients about it as well, and it's actually hard. I can so for example, for some of my clients, I'll say they'll read my stuff. I'm going through a fat loss phase, and it's like, just wait. There's scale fluctuations. You'll see a big whoosh, here. Just keep going. It's consistency. They read that and they'll admit, like, well, they don't really believe it per se, but it's not until they actually do it and stick with it and be consistent that they see it themselves.
Absolutely.
So, right. So it's a matter of actually going through the process and just committing to it, and you'll see the results, right?
Yeah, it's so true. And it's true with anything that any skill that you want, isn't it? Or to learn, like I'm still learning Italian because I'm here in Italy. And
Oh,
oh
yes.
yeah, and I was taking lessons, went to a school, and I remember so many people were like, just keep at it and you will learn it, like trust the process. And I
Yeah.
was like, really? Because I'm
Yeah,
really
you're like
up right now and it's not happening.
it's
You know what I mean? And then someone
all
says it, you're nearly like, just
it's all fucking
you don't understand. It's like shit, she does. She's lost like 100 pounds.
hard.
She
Yeah.
does.
Yeah, and not to say my way is the only way, because it's not. Everyone has their individual needs and whatnot, but it really does come down to the basics, so and consistency, right?
And that's something I loved about all your content is that you keep bringing it down to just the basics. Get the basics right, stay consistent. It's gonna be simple but not easy, and that
Yeah.
is just a brilliant clear message without any BS in the middle of it. And
It's boring.
yeah, it's not sexy, it doesn't sell,
Right?
everything needs a shiny object added to it. And
Right?
on that note, I was thinking, on this journey you've been on, did you get a revelation when you realized a lot of the marketing stuff was just, completely manipulative? Like even that thing, I suppose, of buy a new mattress. I know they're not
Right.
targeting people with weight gain, or neither are the reflux tablets, or maybe, but it's kind of painful, isn't it? I don't know if you found it painful, but I did when I went through the emotional eating journey. And then when I started to see, oh, they actually manipulated me, or I allowed myself
Yes.
to be manipulated by
Right.
messages about, so, McDonald's, loving it, or that
Oh,
example,
yeah. Yep.
that kind of marketing, and even just about the beauty products, the dieting stuff. If you're any way insecure or unsure of yourself, lacking confidence, you just get totally lured in, don't you?
It's we're yeah we're just surrounded by it, like everywhere we look, and growing up, in my 20s, like I'm in my 40s now, and so we just had magazines, right? And they were airbrushed to shit, but we didn't know what airbrushing was back then. Like, I mean, now photoshopping and filters editing is just, I mean, it's normal, which it shouldn't be. I disagree, but yeah, and you're just lured by that stuff, and it's hard. It's hard when you have things coming at you from all different angles, right? Like your family, your culture, society, and so when you see that stuff, that's all you know, right? And so I don't necessarily think that, it's not that we allow ourselves to be manipulated. Like I can see how I can say that now, but in the moment, that's all you know. Like, it's you're inundated with that, right? Like all of that information and lies, really.
Would
So
you have been someone growing up or at that phase where you would have bought like the dieting magazines and the fashion magazine, all of that, was that kind of an influence on you as well?
oh, 100%. Yeah, all the time. Shape, not to say that they had a lot of great stuff to offer, but yeah, just the images and everything that you saw, and the low carb diets, the low not low sugar, whatever, all of those diets, keto, everything. Like, I've been through it all, and yeah, it's easy to get trapped into it, right?
Easy
So
to get trapped into it. And what I found with like a lot of long-term clients that I would have worked with for a number of years with quite a lot of weight to let go of was it just became their identity, as in they'd lost a lot of their old hobbies or interests. And when I'd said, even if it's knitting or like, I don't know, drawing or,
Right.
Irish dancing is, traditional Irish dancing, and it just used to make me so sad when they would just say, I don't know what I like, and I'm like, what? What? They're like, I don't know what I like. I like the Slimming World magazines. I like the Weight Watch stuff, and I'm like, but that's
Right.
up. Like, what? You know what I mean? And so it's interesting how in that marketing that they've kind of put that vibe of like, no, we're all in this together, so we're part of a club. Like I get it,
Right.
okay? But there's other things, right? It doesn't need to be,
Yeah.
the whole
I think
identity.
Like, I know for myself, my personal experience, you kind of lose yourself, right? So you do lose your identity, and then you start you start seeing yourself as someone just what you're used to, what you do every day, and it's not a lot, right? So my son asked me one day, it's kind of eye-opening, what do you like to do, Mom? And I thought about it, and I didn't know what to say, because I have always wanted to swim, but never have, right? Due to my
Okay.
size, body image issues,
Yes.
just never being at that right weight, or and so I never pursued it. About there's things that I've wanted to do over the years, but my weight, and my perception of myself, and weight is limiting, right? When you're 50, 60, 70, 80 pounds, it is limiting physically. And so that really hit me hard, and it's the whole identity thing, it develops. Like, now I can see, as I started immersing myself in fitness and nutrition, and just looking after my health and wellness, and everything just kind of comes together. It's kind of like a byproduct of everything that you're doing, right? Right. So you don't even have to look for it. You don't even have to. You do have to recognize it and ask yourself, yeah, who do I want to be? Who do I want to identify myself with? What kind of person do I want to be? What is it going to take to get to that? Because it's not going to happen if you don't do the work. It's not magically going to happen. And so I find myself now I understand the whole identity term, because I didn't for the longest time. I didn't understand what it was, but I do now. And I'm not exactly where I want to be per se, but I'm doing things that I would never have done at this weight previously, in the years prior. Right?
You're
And that
building
has
a
to do
new
with,
identity. Yeah, you're building it.
yeah, and it has to do with mindset, all of the mindset shifts. And I think 20 or 30 pounds heavier than this, I actually went to a swimming pool with my son. And sorry if I got cut off there, but I went to a swimming pool with my son. I would never have done that. Never. Yeah, previously, at that weight, never would have done that. I did it now, because I'm in a different place, right?
I get
So, yeah.
yeah so it's kind of like the identity shift unfolds as different opportunities come up, or different experiences, or locations come up, as to, oh, that's something I'm open to doing now, but definitely wouldn't have been like 20.
Yeah, like I used to drink a lot, and even throughout this journey, I didn't stop drinking all of a sudden, like, it wasn't all or nothing. I mean, that's something we can talk about, but slowly over time, about a year or so in, I started cutting back even more, and now I don't do it as often, because I know how it's going to affect me. I know how it's going to impact my day, my sleep, and all of those things impact, the person who I want to be, which is, I want to exercise, I want to have energy, I want to show up for my kids every day and not be hungover, right? So, and these things, these things happen. Like, again, they're a byproduct of our actions, and if we just take those small steps, obviously over time, all of our actions will compound. And you don't even have to look out for it, like we said. Like, they'll just start happening, and one day you'll realize and look back, hey, like, I'm not doing that anymore. Or, I was talking to a client the other day, and they were saying, they have a bag of chips in their pantry for 3 weeks.
Unheard
Unheard of.
of before, probably unheard of for them.
Yes, unheard of. But and it's not until you start talking about this, or you reflect and think about it, and you realize, wow, I was saying to them, well, that's a huge win.
Oh,
Like,
massive,
huge,
massive.
right? Huge win. And another client going to the grocery store, not even going to the chips aisle, not even thinking about it at all.
That's
So,
absolutely massive. Massive.
yeah.
Wow.
So just going, so again, going back to going through the process is key,
Yeah,
right?
and that's where their whole identity, because we bought into this, segued in with the identity thing. So
Right.
they were someone who probably identified themselves as, well, I just always go to the chips aisle, Dal, you know, and now they're coaching with you and they're like, don't even think about the chips aisle, you know, like that's a really
Right.
big identity shift, isn't it, really?
100%. And it just comes with time, right? It comes with time and slowly just, working on those habits every day and again, yeah, changing and shifting your identity. So.
And you mentioned about the alcohol there, and something that struck a chord with me, because a lot of the female clients that I would have worked with, long-term clients, it was a really touchy subject I found often, and there was a lot of denial going on, which I can completely relate to, and it seemed to have this kind of effect on them, both physically and mentally, where it also kind of slowly brought down their confidence a little bit, because they felt so much shame often about like nearly relying on the alcohol. And often I would help them or coach them through it by getting them to see that the alcohol probably served a purpose at that time, even though it wasn't great. It's a bit like a bad ex-boyfriend or something that you keep going back to, which you know is no good, right? You're like, damn, here we are again.
Right, yeah.
Oh, is you know like about the alcohol. And so do you find that with your with many of your clients, you know, that the alcohol is a thing that they're using for stress, kind of stress relief or different purposes, and come up much with your clients?
So far, yeah, I mean, obviously it has been used for that, going through some serious family, events or, whatever the case may be, or just as a coping mechanism. I know that's what I used it for, right? Like anything, food too, it's a numbing. You use it to numb, right? Emotional eating. But it's a topic, definitely alcohol in general. I know in my culture, it's, women don't drink. It's real, right? I mean, it's obviously not so much now. It's more known that we do. But turning to it for coping, for sure. I think that's something that maybe a lot of women do, and you're right. It's you maybe you see feel shame in that. But it's common, right?
And
It's
what gets me
common.
into confusion, because there's this whole promotion thing going on that it's like it's wine o'clock, and there's t-shirts
Yes. Yeah.
totally normalized, but then it's also like, well, don't drink too much because you might be an alcoholic or you might be this. So they're like, oh, I think it's cool. No, it's not. And they're
Yeah.
slightly confused, you know. So it's like kind of working through their relationship with alcohol. And it was really interesting. And I think that I'm Irish, so it's nearly like the opposite to your
Yeah. Yeah,
culture,
my culture. Yeah.
right? So when I was doing kettlebell sport and I'd shifted from being a bit of a party head, I had to come up with lies at the start and excuses. I was like, it's either like you're on antibiotics or you're pregnant if you're not drinking, you know. And I'm generalizing about Ireland, but the peers
Right.
that I was around, like that was the vibe. And
Right.
so I found it really hard to socially shift my circles and to justify not drinking, because you've mentioned in a brilliant post you did, which was the top five take homes that you had from dropping this weight. And I loved how not one of them was about fitness or nutrition.
Right.
And one of them I'd taken note of was the number four, which was to give no F's. You know, I don't give no F. And that's partly what
Yes.
the alcohol comes in, right? It's just like, no, I'm not
Yeah.
drinking. Like, if you've got a problem with that, that's your problem, you know?
Exactly, right? And for the longest time that even I remember though when I was younger, like I adopted that attitude where, oh, I don't get math and this and that, and I came across as really confident, but I was really just masking the insecurities. And so now, though, going through all of this, I really don't give zero F's, unless I really want to to. And it's life changing. It really is, because it doesn't matter what people think of me. It doesn't matter what I think of other people. If I don't want to do something, just having that kind of empowerment to say no,
Yes,
no.
yeah, and just you're choosing where you give your F's, like you're choosing where you give them, and I think
Exactly.
part of the Irish culture is a lot of people pleasing also. So there's a lot of like, would you have a cake? And whoever I'm training, Mary, let's call her my client, would
Yeah.
come to me and be like, but I had to have the cake. And I'd be like, okay,
Yeah.
let's work on language, of saying like, I really love your cake and I enjoy it, but I'm full right now, or I don't want it. And that's probably a big journey you've been on, is the people pleasing. And
Yeah.
it's not the same as not giving an F, but it's kind of more just like, no, I know what's good for me and what isn't it?
It is, and that's what I grew up with. That's what I learned. People pleasing, always do for others. Even just having dinners when we were younger, men ate first, and then the kids, and women were in the kitchen, and then they ate last, and then they cleaned up, and there was always, someone showed up at your door. They come in unannounced, and you cater to them. So many little things that over time turned into, yeah, just complete people pleasing. So, yeah, the whole zero F's is, I'm gonna do what works for me and what's good for me. And that's it. That's it. That's what it's about. It's not to say that you don't care about anyone else or whatnot, but being able to say no to something, even if it's just a function, you have birthday parties or this or that. Being able to say no and make time for your family, that counts. That's what giving zero F's is about,
Yeah,
right?
it is.
Not just about you. So,
Yeah. And I guess it comes after the identity shift thing, because if you identify yourself as
yes.
someone who's amicable, who always goes along with what everyone else is saying, and you haven't done maybe the inner work on the identity shift,
Yes.
and you're just like, oh, well, I'm a good girl though, so I better just say yeah. Was that a
Yeah.
big shift for you? That must have been quite a shift from your culture as well. Right.
Huge, huge. Even just with my parents, if I want to voice my opinion now, or if I want to disagree, if I don't want to do something, I don't. I just say, listen, hey, like those are your opinions. I respect them, I appreciate them, but this is where I'm coming from, and this is what's good for me, and this is what's good for my family, and that's it. So, and that definitely came with a sense of just personal growth and development through these last 2 years. Working out was huge, getting into strength training, and just recognizing that just being physically strong and being able to push yourself and do the hard work and lift, like it's huge for self-confidence. I say it's like a life hack,
Oh, yeah,
right?
it's total.
Like from total life hack. And just recently I got a tattoo, and not just an itty bitty one, my first
I
tattoo in over
saw,
4 years.
it's a monster. It's absolutely
It's
beautiful. I saw, I was like,
right.
wow, impressive.
It's huge, and it's on my back, which is like one of the
It's really
most painful
cool.
areas. And
Cool.
2 years ago, I would never have imagined getting a tattoo. Two, I would have been scared. I feared, the pain of it and going through that process. But I don't know. I exude this sense of self-confidence I've never had before, and I'm doing things, and as painful as it might be, like I know I can get through it. It's crazy. It's
Oh, I
life
love
changing.
that. Yeah, that is
Life changing.
amazing. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, she's so badass. Like, that is a
Right.
really cool tattoo. Did you design that tattoo yourself, or did you get someone?
I had an idea of what I wanted, and gave it to the tattoo designer who designed it and came up with it. So that's kind of what I wanted. I just didn't know, in
Yeah,
what
it's
shape or
really pretty.
form
It's
or
really,
color.
really, it's really you, actually. Like, it from what I know of you, it seems to really like suit you,
Yeah, it totally means something to me. So yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. And my kids see it. My son was saying, "Oh, Mom, you're so brave. You're so strong. We're so proud of you."
That's
So.
like cool. It's like,
He's like, but
yeah,
I
cool.
won't be getting one.
You can get a sticker, my loves.
That's what he said. He's like, I'll just get the sticker tattoo. I'm like, yeah, I think that's good for you.
Yeah, totally. And
Yeah.
you mentioned the changing that identity shift, and with your family, the culture, everything. Did you get a lot of kickback of, you've changed, and what? You're not gonna like do that now? And that can be a hard stage for in the journey. Did you get much kickback?
I know 100% I would have if I'd lived closer to home. But because I don't, and I moved away a little over 10 years ago, I do get it sometimes still.
Yes.
But I know that if I was there, yeah, I would. And it's obviously a little bit easier just to say no over the phone than it is to in person. But when I do go back home and visit, I'm very selective about who I meet, what I do, where my time goes now. And it's not like, oh, go see this uncle and go to this aunt's house and go do this and we're invited to this dinner, right? No. I
No.
know. We just, yeah, I just say no, I don't have time for that. I'm being selective with, who I see and who I meet. And yeah.
That's
So
really, I
it has
love.
definitely helped.
Yeah, I love that because I know you were mentioning about like being unkind to yourself, in your thoughts and self-worth, acceptance, kind of neglecting yourself and everything. So now you've gone and you've completely like flipped the shit out of that, basically. The
Totally good way to put it. Yeah. Right.
opposite of that, right? Because I was reading those words in some of your posts, and I was like, "Yep, she's flipped that. She's flipped that. She's flipped
Yeah,
that. She's
that,
flipped that." Like that's,
yeah,
hats off to you. That's not easy.
it's not easy. And yeah, the negative self-talk and just not accepting yourself, giving yourself grace and for everything that we've been through as just as women in general, and birthing kids. Postpartum, raising kids, just life, we don't give ourselves enough credit for what we've been through and how strong we are and can be. And then, to look in the mirror and shit on yourself, that's rough,
It is
right?
rough, isn't it? It is rough. And
Yeah.
you go through a grieving process of that person that you had to let go of? I know I did when I don't know, when I changed a lot and it was like, holy shit, couldn't I just go back to where I was? There was still part of me that was grieving that old me, as you change, but for you, it was quite a shift, so that must have been
I
quite
don't
awesome.
yeah I don't know I don't know if it was so much of a grieving process. Maybe I guess it took some time. For a longest time I would basically shit on myself, like, I can't believe I did that, and I can't believe all those years and wasted time, and just regret. And so it did. And again, going through this journey, it took me time to get to a place where I didn't regret it anymore, and more so appreciate that I learned. There were many lessons that have come out of that, and I am who I am today because of all of those experiences. Because I don't know if I'd taken a path, I have something written up about this, but sometimes I think, oh, maybe it's too fluffy. But but you don't know. There's For a lot of us, and I know for me, there was, a fork in the road, and I could have gone this way or this way, and I went this way. And then, you spend years wondering, well, what if I'd gone that way? Would my life have been different? But it doesn't matter because you don't know. You'll never know, right? So I took the path that I took, and I'm grateful. I have two kids, and I am where I am, and I don't know that I would be where I am today if it wasn't for all of that. And I tell Andrew all the time, I'm like, yeah, I'm just so grateful for meeting you and, starting with you when I did at that point in my life, because it's just led to so much. So,
Yeah, well, I'm glad you
so,
did because you're here now with me through Andrew. So,
well, exactly. And, immersing myself in nutrition and just finding this interest. And I was just actually talking to him about it the other day. There were times where, if it weren't for the accountability factor as well, that I could have stepped away and maybe regressed and
yes.
not have gotten over that hump that I needed to in order to keep moving forward. You just fall short of it, and then you
Oh,
kind
yeah.
of re start reverting back to your old ways a little bit.
Absolutely.
So I needed that, and sticking with him and just doing whatever it was that I was doing and just being consistent and getting through it and getting over that hump was just key. And yeah, like the accountability and everything that I'm learning, and him recognizing and seeing something in me, basically igniting a passion for something that I didn't even imagine, like this whole coaching, business and what I'm doing now. It's more of a passion than anything. Like, I love it. I know it might sound cliche because everyone always says, "Oh, I just want to help people," but really, want to help
No,
people,
it doesn't sound
right?
cliche. It sounds right. It just sounds like the natural order of things for someone who's been through such a huge shift as you. I think it's just that's why your content stands out to me so much, because
Right.
you're telling it how it is, and it's just clear that you're passionate about helping others with it. It isn't some backstory, that's
Yeah.
secondary, it's not.
Yeah, and like as far as the content, yeah, it kind of, for me, I guess I draw a lot on my own experiences for sure.
Yes,
But
yeah.
I feel like maybe a lot of what I've experienced and gone through, so many others have as well. So, or
Yeah.
are currently, right?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you about is so for those of you who aren't familiar with Dal's content, go and check it out if you're looking for inspiration for content. You're saying, I don't know what to post. There's so much value there. Is so Dal's content, your content is, it's not like this big branded aesthetic Canva thing with a million carousels and these reels. No, it's a
Right.
very basic content graphic aesthetic, but the power in the words that you're using are astounding. And so what I'd love to ask
Oh,
you
wow.
is for any just totally riveting, I mean just like every line I want to read the next line, right? Which is
Oh,
the job of
thank you.
what content, good writing is for. And so for fit pros out there who've maybe shying back on personal brand content and storytelling, yeah, whether they have lost a huge amount of weight or not, or whether they
Right.
maybe started like me, non-sporty ever to like getting into fitness in their 30s, or whatever the story is, what a lot of them are saying to me for fit pros is, I don't really have that much of a story, or I didn't, lose that amount of what huge amount of weight, or blah, 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 blah. Is like, would you have any advice to give them about creating content that gets engagement? Because a lot of fit pros are blaming the algorithm, or they're saying, oh, social media is a nightmare, the algorithm. And I'm going, or maybe you're really doing vanilla content that's
Right.
in, and I'm guilty of it too. Like I sometimes know it's bullshit what I'm posting, but I'm just like my head.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever. So, one in 10 is probably shit that I do. But yeah, just
No.
what advice would you say to that type of a fit pro who's, you've really leaned in to your personal brand storytelling style content?
Yeah, so let's see. Well, I'll go back to, Andrew. He's also kind of like my mentor as well, so we talk a lot about this. And one thing is to be really authentic, right? So when I write, you'll notice that in all of my posts, you can hear me through the post. Like, it's my words, it's the
Yeah,
way that
not
I
chat GPT. Yeah, it's you, like, yeah.
Yeah, and when it's something chat GPT, like, you can tell, right? But just being authentic and using your own voice, and just staying true to that, and yes, I draw on my own personal experiences, but I also listen to a lot of podcasts, try to listen to a lot of books. I don't get time to actually read, but try to listen to a lot of books, and then other people, other accounts that you relate to. Everyone's pretty much said everything,
Yes,
right?
totally. It's nothing new at all. It's
You
all
say
out
this too. Yeah, so remix it. Of course, you're thinking it too. Remix it and put it in your own words, in your own voice. Maybe you're funny,
there.
joke, like, there's people that humor comes across their
Oh
posts
yeah,
and it's
not good.
hilarious,
Yeah,
right? I love it. I'm
totally.
not I am super, I can be funny and whatnot, but not when it comes to my writing. I find it hard, so I just write the way that I write. And also, Andrew talks about this too, but drawing on your experience with your clients,
Yes.
You
Yeah.
talk to them every week, or you talk to the, or they send you messages or insights or views. One thing, one line, like you, one thing that they say, and that can be a post,
That's
right?
gold. That's gold. I'm always saying that. And that's how Jonathan Goodman wrote one of his books. He just brought the pen and paper onto the gym floor and then was like, right, what did they ask me during this session? What were they saying?
Right.
I think it was a
Yes.
fire. Yeah. You know,
Yes. So,
great advice. Yeah, that's really good advice.
right.
Do you have a process? Like, do you do like content scheduling, batch content creation? I'm guessing no.
Oh, me and processes. No.
Great, cool.
Honestly,
It's whatever
I
works.
don't. Right. Most I have what I have a problem with is my captions are too long.
No, I don't think that's a problem though, because the right person
It
is going to read it to the end. The right person is going to read
isn't.
it to the end, right? Like you're not at the whim and mercy of Instagram going, right, I have to do a reel or do this. You know, yours is
Yeah.
proper solid form long form content. I've
Yeah,
read
I
that.
thank you. I appreciate that, because I always wonder, I'm like, is anyone reading this? But that's where the bread and butter is, right? You know, it's in the actual caption and as much as you can get across. But I find that I actually spend more time cutting it down to fit than I do actually writing
Damn limit on Instagram.
it.
That is a 2,200, I think it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's like, oh, why don't I use one word?
So I do try to be consistent with my timing in terms of, like, it's just easier for me to schedule it the night before and come out
Okay.
in the morning.
Yeah. Okay.
And I just do it when I can. I have a busy life with kids and activities and, you know, just between work and everything. So yeah, wherever I am, like, I do stuff just on my notes on my phone, sitting waiting for my kid, you know, for his school. For him to get out of school, I'll do it then. And you know, you don't, this is my opinion, but I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on posts,
No.
right? If you can find a way to, you know, so if people have problems with coming up with posts, again, if you can just draw on your clients' experiences and look for different ways to get that information and ideas, it can be pretty quick, right? And just use your own voice. I think that you would have a easier time creating that content than trying to force yourself to do it in a way that you think someone else wants to see it. Or you know how people say, oh, don't do it for coaches. I mean, I'm sure you say
Yes.
you I've read that you say that as well. Like, don't write your content for other coaches, write it for who actually needs to see it and hear it.
Yes. Yeah, totally. And I think how yours is so brilliant is that you have a clear messaging, which is be consistent. This isn't going to be easy, but it can be simple. And so when you've got that to work off, you can kind of branch out from that, can't you, in different
Oh,
things.
yeah, 100%. So that's just my method. I know there's lots of others out there. I think it's John who says, you know, do like a kind of like a brain dump, right? So, you know, use one word and just go from there and see kind of what ideas you can come up with. So
Okay.
yeah, a lot of.
How do you find clients? Where do you, because I didn't see a call to action. I didn't couldn't find a link on your page to like, oh, I can book
I'm working on that.
the Instagram police here, doll. What's going down?
I know. You know, right now I honestly, as you know, like, I started in, oh, like, no, November. So I haven't, you know, I
Wow.
mean, I haven't been
Amazing.
in the game for long. But I know I have to, there has to be a call.
No, because
To
I have a friend who needs help. This isn't some fake thing.
Yeah.
She literally needs help. And then I was like, is Dal online or offline? I wasn't too sure. And then I was like, what's this person? Look, I think I have a coach for you. And then I went and checked your thing. And I was like, not sure.
DM, just DM or email me. No, I know.
It's like the
Thanks for calling
anti-marketing
me out.
campaign, you know? I love it. I love it.
Working on that, but yeah, just DM me. My processes are very simple.
Yeah, you're practicing what you preach. I love it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll hook a gal up then and send
Awesome.
yeah.
Thank you.
I love it. And I was going to ask you my last question for you, of one of your
Okay.
words of wisdom, was about the mental aspects and the mindset elements from what you mentioned of the five key things that you took from this, 100 pounds is
Yeah.
saying no. That was one of them,
Right.
wasn't it? Boundaries. Am I correct in
Yes.
that? Yeah.
Yes.
Self-care. Giving no
That's
Fs.
huge.
Love it. And then self-kindness.
Yeah, so I think, a lot of these a lot of these things just kind of intertwine with one another. Self-care is huge. I know how I grew up and in my culture, again, going to people pleasing, right? You don't look after yourself because you're looking after everyone else. And self-care can mean many things for different people. It's not just losing weight or going and working out. Maybe it's just taking the time out for yourself every day. And being kind to yourself. Again, talking about giving yourself grace. Everyone's situation and life circumstances is different. No one has the same 24 hours in a day.
Absolutely not. Thank you.
Right?
Glad we got that one cleared up, folks.
Yeah, all right. Like, seriously. And we come from different backgrounds, different cultures, different expectations. There are some expectations of us, and if we haven't figured that out yet or haven't worked on ourselves and we're not at that point, those things can be limiting, right?
Lovely.
So I think if we approach this generally, just speaking, like weight loss in general, getting healthier, prioritizing yourself, if we come at it from more of a kindness angle and just, self-compassion and kindness, I think that you can reach your goals and progress so much more than, some people that are tough love, or you're not disciplined enough, or you're not doing enough. In my experience, it's not that I ever lack discipline or the perseverance or whatnot. Like I, my goes at quick fixes and these extreme diets are an example of not lacking discipline. It's just not knowing, not always knowing there's a different alternative, a better alternative, a healthier alternative, which is just going back to the basics and also, working on yourself and being more kind to yourself. So.
Yeah, that's such a brilliant message, because I find the same with fit pros is when they're unkind to themselves about, oh, that content only got 2 likes, or I haven't created sales, or whatever it is. I've found as an approach, as a mentor, that self-compassion actually boosts their productivity double than if I was to go and give them some silly strategy like go and DM 100 people for
Yeah.
some shit.
Right.
You know,
Yeah.
is
Cold
it?
DMs.
It's just like no. And so I think that thing of, go hard or go home, like in the fitness
Right.
industry or in the coaching industry, of this thing, be on 10 different platforms and all that. And then meanwhile, people's mental health are just totally suffering. And it's like, well, if you're serious about this, you do it. It's like, I often say to my clients, delete Instagram and Facebook. That's what you need to do today.
Right.
Don't post anything.
Yes.
And tell yourself that you are amazing. Or not even that, if that's too much to take, even just be kinder to yourself in what you're saying. And it's where I think the whole self-care thing is also marketed really, really manipulatively, of like, you need a face mask, girl.
Why?
You need nails.
Right.
No, I just need to fucking learn how to talk okay to myself. Thanks.
Exactly. And you know what? All else will follow, right? And the biggest thing is, what got me through this, I remember at first I had lost 50 pounds and then I started working with Andrew, and now I had a newborn baby, not sleeping, like I had all the odds stacked against me, postpartum, alcohol dependent, all of that stuff. And I remember going in one day and saying, I can't do 3 days a week. Like, I can't work out 3 days a week and get my steps in and do this and do that. And I just said, like, that's it. Like, I'm just going to work within the parameters of my life. Like, I'm not making excuses. I'm not saying that to say, oh, I don't want to work out today, so I'm going to use that as an excuse. No, like, seriously, I'm just going to work within the parameters of my life. This is a season of life I'm in, and I'm not going to be hard on myself. And I'm just going to be consistent with what I can be consistent with, and that's it. And that's
Brilliant.
what I adopted. That's the mantra that I adopted throughout all of this, and I continue to do so. And
Yeah.
it's amazing when and that comes with self-care, self-love, having compassion, grace, kindness for, for everything that you do.
Yeah.
So,
That's
yeah.
really, really beautiful. And this is Dal's bio. It says empower you to make permanent lifestyle changes. Goodbye to yo-yo dieting and achieve sustainable fat loss, working on the parameters of your life. That's
Yeah,
what
yeah.
really, really drew me in also to your profile. Was just like, thank God at last someone's using that in their profile. Is it,
Working within the parameters of your life,
of your
for
life.
sure.
Like,
Yeah.
the ebb and flow of life is real, and there's trainers that are like, well, if you wanted it hard enough, you'd be, no, goodbye.
Exactly, right? Like, if we could just not convince, but encourage everyone just to do a little bit more than they were doing yesterday, that's a win, right? So if they're drinking one glass extra of water today, good. Like, you weren't doing that yesterday, right? So if you're cooking one more meal at home today than you were last week, great. Like, you're headed in the right direction. And it's these small steps. And saying that we should have all of our ducks in a row before we start, that's crazy. Like, it's not gonna work. That's that all or nothing mentality, and it's just gonna lead to failure. It's
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, it's so
yeah,
true.
nothing. So yeah.
Your clients are really lucky to have you, and so is the fitness
Oh.
industry. I'm really excited to kind of watch your journey unfold, because it's just going to be awesome, even more awesome than it already is.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's really kind.
Any parting message for any fit pros out there who maybe aren't sharing so much about their, not that we have to bare our souls,
Right.
we don't, but you know what I mean? Like, about their
Yeah.
small stories and things like that, content.
I think being a little bit more authentic and just putting yourself out there, and I believe it's, I hear this from John a lot as well, John Goodman, but it's just like, be yourself. Don't be afraid of, saying your truth and, what you're into, or what your life is like, or I post on my story sometimes about my life. That's just the reality of it. It's boring, but that's me. And really, just to get out of yourself. Like, we think sometimes maybe we'll be judged for showing up as our true selves, but in reality, I think that's what it is that people want to see, right? They want to relate to you. They want to see who you are, and maybe that's why they'll want to work with you as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And even if that means being a fit pro who maybe doesn't post a really hard workout that they've just done and have said, you know what, today I just wasn't up for it. I didn't sleep. The kids were up, or whatever it is.
Yep.
Instead
Yeah.
of like ghosting the internet and not showing up because they're not perfect, I'm always encouraging just show up in some shape or form and be real and be like, fuck, I didn't do this.
Yeah.
I'm wrecked. I'll do them tomorrow.
Yeah, and you say that as well, like, with the filters or the makeup or whatever, like, who cares? Like, this is how I am every day. So I'm not gonna go do my face so I can come and show up on a podcast as someone that, yeah, I, get dressed up, but it's very, what, 1% of the time,
Yeah.
99% of the time, this is how I look, and this is how I'm gonna show up, and it's a real me, right? So when I do my post, I just don't use any filters, because that's what I feel comfortable with that. So
Good for you. Yeah,
yeah.
so don't be afraid
Yeah.
of being filterless,
Right. Which is fine. I mean,
Yeah.
that's something you feel comfortable with, or you're trying to get used to, or whatever. That's, that's you,
Yeah,
right? You do
exactly.
you.
Yeah, sometimes I use the odd filter,
Yeah.
if my skin is really looking off or something like that,
Yeah.
adds to my
Right.
confidence, but they're not like outrageous me with suddenly big Botox lips or something. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
what?
Yeah.
Some
Exactly.
crazy filters run like that. That's totally not me. Like, there's no way I could like just show up
I
like
know.
that.
I've swiped through. I'm like, whoa,
Who
whoa.
are you? Like, what?
Looked like a
Yeah.
cartoon.
Yeah, I look
But yeah.
like Jesus. I
Yeah.
knew I had one more question.
Okay,
Your
yeah.
next goal on
Go for
this
it.
weight loss journey, have you are you going into maintenance mode now, or have you got like more?
Yeah, I still have 4 to 6 weeks left. So just before Iran's conference. So
Oh
we'll
yes,
see how long. Can't
I
show up to
see.
Vegas without me.
Salads
I'm kidding.
Tupperware in the hotel room.
Right,
Oh,
no.
the timing.
But honestly, I have a couple of clients that are going through the same thing right now, so it's nice for them to see and how we're kind of on the same page and we're going through the same skill fluctuations and all of that. But after this, I hope to never go into a fat loss phase again.
Again.
Maybe, way down the road, but I hope to live at maintenance and just work on building muscle and my strength, and that's it. So I
Well,
like eating, and I'm looking forward to eating
hell
more.
yeah. Yeah. And an area that I feel is hugely missing in the fitness industry, in terms of content, in terms of programming, in terms of all of it, and awareness, is maintenance.
Yes,
I'm just thinking about
100%.
it, I'm like, where isn't there a whole page about maintenance? Where's an account about maintenance? And I remember so many
Yeah.
of my clients got to maintenance, they're with me for years, and I was like, I can't post about this because people are just like, where's the result? And I'm like, no, that's the result, is that they're maintaining their maintenance. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's,
That's the end goal, like,
yeah.
is to live in maintenance. It's, I had a post about this one day too, where it's like, we don't even know, so many of us have never known maintenance. We really haven't. Like, I didn't either. I didn't know what true maintenance was. Yeah, like going off the deep end and eating, 3,000 to 4,000 calories, or eating like 1,000, right? That's just teeter-tottering between those two. But yeah, living at maintenance is just life-changing. Yeah, it's the place to be, where you should live for the rest of your life. And yeah, that's what I hope to, after this fat loss phase, is just to talk about that now, from
Oh,
now
great.
on.
Well,
And
I'll go to your account
yeah.
for that
Right. There
content
are
then.
a few that I can recommend to you that do actually talk about maintenance a lot.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
but
Yeah.
yeah. So,
Awesome. Oh, that's
yeah.
great. Yeah, that's wow. Well, you will, I hope it goes just fantastically for you in Vegas as well, for our
Right.
event. Yeah, that's
I'm
really
looking forward
exciting.
to it. But you're going to be doing the, you did the virtual, you
I did
said,
the
so
virtual
that
one,
was,
yeah, and it was
yeah.
awesome. So for anyone listening, maybe it will have gone by now, but it's Aaron Gregorian holds absolutely brilliant fitness summits every year. And
Yes.
this year it's in Las Vegas, isn't it? Yeah,
Yep.
it was
Yeah.
one of them.
March 11th and 12th. And I actually purchased his recordings for the virtual event, so I'll be listening to them
Awesome. Yeah.
soon. So I'm looking forward to listening to yours.
Yeah. Well,
But
thanks.
definitely, there's gonna be a lot of FOMO for those that don't attend.
Yeah, we'll be checking out your stories, and hopefully the next time I'm on the podcast, I'll be asking you about the event and about the maintenance phase.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thanks so much for coming on. It's been just fantastic to have you on. Thank you, Dal.
Thank you.